Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I can't finish the message this morning. In fact, it's been made and done in two halves. Half this week and half next week. And you need to hear them both together. They both go together. And it is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it's simply the story of the call of Samuel. So I'm going to read the chapter, and then we'll share a little bit about it, because it seems to identify with us exactly where we are at right now. And when we come to next week, what we have to do to react to what we find out today. And we just had those words, you know, be still for the power of the Lord, as well as the presence, as well as the glory of the Lord is in this place. And listen to this, no work too hard for him. I've prepared a third message just on that phrase. You know, nothing's impossible with God. In faith, receive from him. So you have to be still and know something of the power of the Lord. Let me read 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, if you know your Bible, you will know that the incident with Hannah has taken place. She was there before the altar praying, and Eli thought she was drunk. Then the boy Samuel is born. That's what she was asking for. In chapter 2, it's the story of what his boys were doing wrong. And now we come to chapter 3. And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, like in 2022, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There are not many this morning across our nation who are doing what you are doing. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming very weak, and they didn't have spectacles and that kind of thing then, he could barely see. He was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Ere the lamp, the light of the temple went out. When everything looked bad in the temple, in the church, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went. He lay down. And again the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized, there's a better word in the King James. It's a better way of translating the Greek text, the Hebrew text here, actually. perceived. Perceived. Not a word we're that familiar with, but he recognized something. That's what it means. Then Eli realized, perceived, that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against the family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about his sons who made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. And so I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house would never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. And Samuel lay down until the morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And next Sunday morning, that's where we will begin. When Samuel gets up and opens the door of the church, of the temple. Because that's where we will be if you listen to today. A wonderful word from God. May he bless it to all our hearts. Now picture this with me. And I titled this up, Before the Light Went Out. It's dusk. The shadows of the night have fallen on Shiloh. The worship service, the evening sacrifice, the ritual, it's over. It's finished. And just like here, there's only a couple of stragglers, and now all the stragglers, all the worshippers have left. So it'll be a late Sunday night here, and you all have just made your way through the door, and it's dark out there, and we're going to do what we do, pack up and go home, and so on. It's a little bit different in this scenario. Silence. Silence has settled. It seems to fill the place. See over there? Can you see it? Do you notice it? There's a lamp still burning. It's feeble. It's weak light. It's drifting, pervading the place. I can just about see over there the ark of God. It's that that hallows. It's that that's imposing its presence on the temple. It's awesome. When I see the ark, there's a sanctity, there's a something special, something unique about it. Its presence over here tells me that God's here in this place. Is everything okay? It seems a bit like it, but it's not okay. In fact, it's quite distressing. See, that lamp over there shouldn't be as dim as it is. It's flickering. It looks like it'll go out at any moment. And little did anybody know at that time that this lamp, flickering as it is, was a precursor. It was something that was going to declare, you know, there's a problem in the nation. It's about an encounter with God that's missing. And the impact of what was to happen would have implications, it would have consequences for years to come. I want you to listen to me. Because I want to tell you, it's like that now here. And could it be that this story is a mirror image of where we are today? Could it be what happened that night could be the very principle for change and challenge and renewal that can take place in us individually and in our church corporately and in our nation and in our time and to the generation that's rubbing shoulders with us? Well, let me look at it with you. Number one, the lamp was flickering. The King James says, ere the lamp went out. Ere the lamp went out. And to understand the significance of that statement, you have to explore the principle, the reason, what's behind it. Otherwise, you just say to me, well, so what? So what, Pastor Dave? If it goes out, so what? Well, number one, because of the testimony that it bore. It was the only means of illumination in the holy place. It spoke of Israel as a light bearer to the nations of the world. And the instructions that had been given were to be enforced very rigorously. It was never to go out. It was not to burn low. And there are some very clear orders. You can read it for yourself in Exodus 27. Bring clear oil of pressed olives for the light, for the lamp to be kept burning. Why? Because it was to be a very distinct, it was to be a very clear message to all, everybody, about the living, mighty God who brought light to a darkened world and to a darkened conscience. And the God who with just a word said, let there be light, and there was light. If you turn the pages of your Bible, you will see and hear that the Christian is meant to be a light. Let your light shine before men. Why? They can say you're wonderful. No, they may see what you are. They may see how you live. They may see your good works. And what then? And then glorify your heavenly Father. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Christian, you, me, us, we are meant to be light in our community. And all of this is intended to be a challenge to us and to our generation. So you remember the Sunday school little song, Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light. Like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so we must shine. How? You in your small corner and I in mine. Remember it? It says it all. So there's the testimony. And then there's the tragedy. The tragedy it betrayed. The lamp here at Shiloh has been neglected. That's why it's flickering. That's why it's almost going out. Why? Because of the moral and spiritual declension across the land. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Just like now. It's the problem of Rochford. It's the problem of the United Kingdom. It's the problem of the world. And dark, gloomy times. So nobody hears out there about the promises of God. So people scoot past here and past you and past every other church that there is, and they know nothing about the possibilities of God's word transforming their lives. They see no demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's as if God has withdrawn himself. They went here nearly 700 years without a prophet. There are only two prophets in the times of the judges. One was Deborah, you know, the story of Deborah and Barak. And the other was when the Midianites, and that prophet is never named. So there was no awareness of God. Wait a minute. Isn't that true of where we're living today? There are all these ramifications about finance, about debt, about falling figures. Has there been anywhere any mention? Let's have some prayer. Let's ask what God wants us to do. Not a thing. There is no awareness of God around us. And once they called us a Christian nation, once they said we had a constitution based on the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, once we were the base for missionary enterprise, once we had people who would come, we used to have landline links here for Billy Graham meetings that were taking place in Earls Court. We had tents down at South Church Park for missions. We had them down at Hockley there. Once you could invite folk to come and they'd respond. But nobody's listening anymore. Nothing's happening anymore. And it bothers me. I tell you what else bothers me. When I see church leaders doing things that shouldn't be done. I don't read any more of great conversions taking place in the churches. And I have to say that, I have to confess that politically and morally and spiritually, I look out every morning and I listen to the news and I see a nation that's out of control. And the flickering lamp is just a symbol of the inconsistency in the lives of even God's people. So we have to face a challenge. Before we want to start talking about rebuilding our work, revitalizing, are our lives consistent? Or are we sometimes strong and sometimes weak? Now, my only consolation was this, and I want you to get this to you. The lamp was flickering in the temple. In the temple. It was in the house of God. And what's more, I wrote down the greater imperative is this, that while the lamp is flickering, God can send a word. God can act. And it was ere the lamp went out, God did something. And God sent a somebody to be the answer. So the lamp is flickering. Now let's look at the prophet. The prophet is faltering. Eli is lacking in discernment. That's the gift of the priesthood. and Eli has lost it. He doesn't recognize that Hannah is not drunk, but she's agonizing in prayer, pleading for a son. He put the worst construction possible on those lips that were moving before the altar there. He misjudged her in the most uncharitable kind of way. And the second thing was, he didn't recognize first that God was calling Samuel. I'm challenged. And I have to challenge every one of the deacons. And I have to challenge every one of you members. Do we discern the important, the necessary things to arrest the declension of the church today? Lacking in discernment, languishing in distress, he's old, he's tired, he's always, whenever you read about him, he's always sitting down or lying down. He's lethargic. He's unable to cope. He never rebuked his sons. They did some terrible things. And when he told them, "No, boys, you don't do that. It was too mild and it was too late," he let them run wild. There's a law written in Leviticus 18 of what he should have done. And he was indulgent and he was neglectful and he was lethargic. How sad if God had to say that about us too. So the lamp is flickering, the prophet is faltering, the sons are failing in their duties. When folk were bringing their offerings, as you brought your offering, it would be a sacrifice. Now, there were parts of them that were legitimately to be given as their income. But the best parts were to be burnt on the altar as the sacrifice, the burnt offering. And they took that. Said, in effect, God won't mind. But he's offended. And they're greedy. They're not content with their share. So the wave breast and the shoulder they took, but the peace offering, it was an insult to God. It's in their devotions. When the women came to the church, they abused them. They profaned. Men, it says, men abhorred the offerings of the Lord. Religion suffered because of their sin. Now the Bible tells me we're all priests unto God. So we have to watch how we live. Now that's enough of the bad things. The lamp is flickering. The prophet is faltering. The sons are failing. But here's the best bit. The Lord was fashioning. And you see the way he works. The call came while Samuel was serving, was ministering, while he was being faithful, while he was carrying out his duties. There's an adage that I grew up with that said this: when God wants a worker, he calls a worker. I want to tell you, whatever we do to revitalize the work, whatever we do to rebuild, you are the ingredient portion. You are the folk who stayed true and faithful and loyal and been here and are still here. Because God's looking for people just like you. And he will rebuild. He'll come to the folk who are being loyal to him. And it came suddenly. Suddenly. It was an impact moment. It would never be forgotten, because that's the moment we say, that's when. And it came. Oh, get this with me. Before that lamp goes out. My granddaughter said to me this morning, "Granddad, what would happen to you, the church, if there was nobody there?" She said, "It never happened, Tashi. It'll never happen. Believe me. Believe me, it will never happen. Before the light goes out, ere the lamp of the temple went out, God did something that was significant and special and unique. In the darkness of that hour, in the darkness of the days in which we are living. And you know where it happened? Well, you do know because I've just read it to you. Here, in the temple. It wasn't what happened in the market square. It wasn't what happened down the road. When God breaks in, you are the first place of call. It's to the church. It's in the temple. It's sudden. It's before the light goes out. It's in the temple. And then listen to this. It came to Samuel by name. By name. Personally. The calls of God, you see, are very specific and very particular. Samuel! Now the boy is trying to rest and God's calling him. This boy is learning how to serve. So when you are a servant, you jump out of bed. This is not glamorous. Everybody I talk to today wants to be a boss, a leader. But servitude is something special that the gospel and the word of God talks about again and again. Read John 13. Hey, what are you doing, Jesus? And he'll say to you, what do you mean, what am I doing? And he's taken a towel. And he's taken a wash basin. And he's walking over to those grubby, dirty feet of the disciples. And he will wash them. That's the story. The Bible tells me he took upon himself the form of a servant. And if we don't learn this secret of serving, we miss the blessing of the service. The paradox is here. It's Isaiah 40. You wait on the Lord. That's the instruction. How? Because that's the way you will renew your strength. If you miss here, you're missing the chance to renew your strength. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel's trying to get some rest, but God's disturbing him. So he runs to Eli. I think there's a very interesting truth here. And I hope you hear it. So often God will speak to you through the voice of the man he set before you. I don't come here to preach for my benefit. I pray through the week. I ask for a word. I ask for instruction. And often God will use my voice. I'm your pastor. I'm your friend. I'm your helper. I'm your counselor. But it will be so often that the voice of the instructor is the voice that God is using to speak to your heart. He does it to me. I get mentored by someone else, and God will use that voice. I mentor some men in exactly the same kind of way. And it's this remarkable thing. And Samuel is hearing something that Eli doesn't hear. Eli is not hearing Samuel. He's not hearing the voice. So what can I share with this? This young man who's energetic and strong and motivated by something calling him. Only Eli can perceive it. The old man recognizes it's the voice of God. And all these youngsters, I watch them on TBN and all these others. But it's the old man. It's Samuel perceived. It's Samuel who tells the boy what to do. And I just wanted to say to all the young people, you can't get there without us old people. I say to you this morning, many of us are just old people, but we have seen God do things. We've heard God do things. And all the new generation will never make sense of what's happening to them unless some old men and old women perceive that God is in this and God is speaking in that. Well, I've got one more thing I'm going to do, and that's the blessing he wills. Do you know what Samuel's qualification was from this moment on? The Lord was with him. He would go out and about. He'd be one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. He'd be a messenger, and there would be a power in the words he spoke that the world at large recognized. He would live a life of unflinching boldness, unblemished integrity. And it's Samuel who brings ultimately the greatest blessing to Israel. We have another time for that. Do you know what God wants us to do? Reflect on this story from yesteryear. It's so simple. It's so significant. It's about the God who wants your attention and my attention, because he's got something to say to us and something specific for us to do. And I'll enlarge that later. He's calling by name. And every now and then, you'll sit here on a Sunday morning or whenever, and you'll hear his voice. It may be a word, maybe a song, a tune that's played here. I don't know. But it's God calling us. And I believe he's calling us to let the lamp shine. He's going not any other place but to us about this place. He's not going to let the lamp go out here. And he's got you. He's got me. He's got us in mind. He said, I want you to be my Samuels so that the lamp never, ever goes out. God wants us to help him change the community and the world around us. You know, the French painter Emile Renoir painted an old man in a boat, a fisherman in a boat. And there's a little girl sitting in front of him, in effect. His arms are around her. And both of them have their hands on the oar, on the oars. The little girl, and then this old man, this old fisherman, has got his hands on the little girl's. And in a way, it's almost as if he's saying to her, you can help me with the rowing. Now, the little girl thinks that when they do this, she is making the boat. She's going along well. But really, it's those strong, muscular arms of the fisherman that help the boat to move. Now, what the painter did, he entitled it this, The Helping Hand. The Helping Hand. Your hands, my hands on the oars, but the hand of Almighty God on top of ours. That we can share together the work of Jesus, and God works in us and he works through us, and he is the strength of our lives. He's the helping hand. And we take the boat, we sail the boat to do its job. Ere the lamp went out. next week will be about what you do next. And do you know what he did next? He went back to bed. He slept through the rest of the night. And the next morning, he got up and he opened the doors. He opened the doors and got on with the job of telling a whole world about this mighty God. Be blessed this morning. Be blessed. If you've been struggling as we have been struggling, you know, the lamp's been flickering, prophet's been faltering, sons have been failing, but God, God is about to step in ere the lamp goes out and fashion a people. And they look like you. They look like you. They look like you. Fashion a people who will be instruments in his hand to bring blessing to God and to the community. Bow with me. Lord, let there be light. Take your people. Make your face shine on them and be gracious to them. Lift the light of your countenance upon them, and may they, in their small corner, this coming week, shine for Jesus. The Lord go with you, give you his peace, enable you by his grace, and give you his favor and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.